Amen. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Jean. Now, I don't imagine there are too many people here today who are feeling the pressures of fatherhood much more than Ben, as he, in a way, starts with a new child. And there are a lot of responsibilities there, aren't there? A lot of responsibilities. The Urban Dictionary defines a father as a man who has photographs in his wallet where the money used to be. You're looking worried, Ben. Yes, a man with photographs in his wallet where the money used to be. But I was thinking about the attributes of a father, what it takes to be a father, and came up with a little acronym. So the F of father stands for faithful and funny. He needs to be faithful to his children. He needs to be fun for them as well. He needs to be careful as he does that not to make the mothers the disciplinarian. But it's important for a dad to be fun as well. The A of father stands for affirming. He needs to affirm his children. But it also stands for authoritative, because a father must be a figure of authority as well. The T is for teacher. Children rely on their parents, both parents obviously, to teach them how to grow up, to become members of society. The H of father is for hero. Dads need to be heroes. Mums do as well. They need to be heroines, actually, not heroes. But dad, you need to be heroes, because they say that a son will grow up to be like his father, and a daughter will grow up to marry someone like her father. So if you want your children to be good husbands and to pick the right husbands, dads, there's pressure on you. The E of father. Father needs to be an encourager. Really important to encourage your children in whatever they do. And R, the R of father. Dads, we need to be reliable, don't we? We need to be there for our kids. Really, really important. I've got three readings. I've asked Andrew, Beck and Lottie to bring us. Andrew, do you want to start off?
I'm a dad. I want to catch you before you fall. But instead, I'll pick you up, brush you down, and let you try again.
A dad is someone who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way. Then, though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt,
A dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail.
Thank you, Andrew, Beck, and Lottie. So, dads, how are we feeling? Are we feeling the pressure? I think as a dad, you need to be some kind of a superhero, really. And so on a special Father's Day, what do we give to our superhero dads? Well, I had a look online as to what the suggested gifts were, and I confess that I blanched at the first one. The first one, top of the list, was a personalised iPad for £1,400. Dads, how many of you got a personalised iPad this morning? No hands. And then it goes on down through pictures, through mugs, special personalised coffee mugs or whatever, to pairs of socks and things like that. I don't know what any of you got this morning. I got some wonderful little presents. I got a pair of gardening gloves. I got a packet of pork scratchings. And I got a tube of super glue. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm thrilled with all of that. I'm thrilled with all of that. No, Kev. There you are. Kev got an I'm in charge badge and he's got to give it back to Beck tomorrow. I don't think he'll probably keep it that long. If you were here on Mother's Day, we always hand out flowers to the mothers. And dads, I don't want you to go home empty-handed. So who's got a dad here? Who would like a little present to give to their dad? Who's got their dad here who deserves a present? Come on then. Come on then, Grace. Come on then, Lydia. Well done. You're going to give your dad that. How many other dads have we got here? You got one. Andrew, you're a dad. You're a dad. How many other dads have we got? You've got dad. You want to pass them out? Thank you. Pass them all out. Make sure that all the dads get one. And dads, just pass those around. Show everybody what it is you've got. And I put my telephone down somewhere. Where did I put it? So there we are. Dads, for those who haven't seen, the dads are getting a Superman badge. Very important. Now, I love a Superman badge. I love my pork scratchings. I love my gardening gloves. And I love my super glue too. But what I really love, and if you were watching, you would have seen it here when Lottie came up to do her reading. My preferred present, always. Hopefully we got a picture of it. Have we got a picture, Tim? There we are, holding hands with my little girl. As I say, when she came up to do her reading, She gave me a little hug. And that's the most precious thing to me as a dad. And as I was preparing for today, it suddenly dawned on me that actually, and I can't make this claim much, but it occurred to me that in that I love the presence that Lottie gives me, but that picture, that's the most important thing. In that, I am like God, because God, though he wants and loves our presence, he loves the gifts we bring him, he loves the gifts that we use in his service. What he wants, first and foremost, is our presence. He wants us close to him. He wants us to remain close to him all our lives so that he can guide us, keep us safe, nurture us. This is what God wants. That amazing scene from the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, God and Adam, and just see how close their hands are. That's how close God wants us to be to him. A close, lasting, loving relationship. God wants us, you and me, to call him Abba, Father, Daddy. How amazing's that? There's a story about JFK when he was president. He would have meetings in the Oval Office, the most powerful man in the world, and he was having meetings with all his big chiefs, all his secretaries of state and whatever else he had, all his security advisors. Really, really important meetings. And yet during those meetings, his children were allowed in the Oval Office. And so he'd be having this hugely important meeting, and his children would be clambering over him and the other people in the office and the desks and what have you. That's how God wants to be with us. He wants, even though he is so almighty, so powerful, so important, he wants us to be that close to him. So how do we achieve this? Well, our reading today gives us a clue, doesn't it? It tells us that we must remain in Christ. The analogy of the vine, the branches attached to Christ, the main part of the vine. We need to stay attached to Christ. Because only when we're that close, only when we are that Christ-centered, can we truly be in God's plan for us. Introducing our little series last week, Peter used a picture of a wheel, and Christ is the center of it. If you imagine your car wheel, have a look at it maybe as you go back to your car after the service. In the center of it, there's an emblem of what your car, the make of your car, isn't there? Mine says that I'm a Mazda. And what yours says. And Peter said that center of the wheel, and it's important that it is the center, otherwise the wheel doesn't work properly. That center of the wheel, that hub, it stays in focus as the rest of the wheel moves at speed around the hub. And as our lives get so busy, that central part, which says Christ, is the part that remains in focus. And it's through that hub that the power of God works in our lives. Just as in your car, the power from the engine is transmitted to the road through the hub, the center of the wheel. Now, there's no getting away from it. If you look at that reading, talk of pruning sounds a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? If you're a gardener, you'll know I've got my new gardening gloves, so I dare say I'll be out there doing a little bit of pruning later on. I'm not allowed to prune, really, because I like to prune with a chainsaw, which apparently isn't the way you do it. But there's nothing to say that this is going to be comfortable. It doesn't guarantee us an easy time, an easy life. But as I say, if you're a gardener, you know the importance of pruning your shrubs, pruning trees. You know, we have trees here. We have somebody come and look at them on a regular basis to keep them disease-free, to help them grow strong, and to keep them safe, stop bits falling out of them on top of people. And the Bible tells us often that as fathers, we must teach our children, we must discipline our children. It's one of parents' favourite verses in the Bible, isn't it? Spare the rod and spoil the child. Not quite like that, but we do need to discipline our children. We need to teach them, correct them. We need to help them to develop good habits and help them kick any bad ones which they may develop. My parents did it to me. You'll have to ask Teta whether or not they succeeded. And I do it for Lottie. Why? Because I love her. And I want the best for her. And it occurs to me sometimes, and it's almost overwhelming. I know the love that I feel for Lottie, but if I feel that much love as a frail, fallen human being, how much more than that does God love me? How much more than that does God love every single one of us? Maybe just think about that. I find it absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And that's what God wants for us. Just as I want the very best for Lottie, so God wants his perfect plan A for me, and he wants his perfect plan A for every single one of us here today. How do we do it? By keeping Christ at the centre of our lives, by staying in that true vine, and by letting ourselves be pruned by God through that relationship. Maybe just take a moment now as I finish to consider, is Christ the centre of your life? Or maybe does your wheel need rebalancing? Is there any area of your life where maybe there's a little bit of deadwood, a little bit of something that God wants to cut out so that you can be more fruitful, more productive, live a closer life with him?